Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us your word, and in your generosity, you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can have the riches of heaven. And we ask, Lord, that today you will help us to learn from your generosity towards us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, Jesus is sitting at the temple where the offerings were placed. The rich people were putting in large sums of money, amounts that would draw your attention. And then there was a poor widow who came and she put in two small coins worth very little. Maybe you've read the story. Maybe you know what happens next. But Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Now, by Jesus' assessment, who was the genuinely generous person? It was the poor widow, wasn't it? What if today Jesus saw a slightly different scene? What if instead of seeing the rich giving in their abundance, he saw you and your giving, your cash giving, your electronic transfers? He saw how much you gave. He saw the motivation for which you give. What would Jesus' assessment be? Would he commend you like he does the poor widow? It's a challenging question. Are you a genuinely generous person? And if we're thinking at this point, oh, maybe we're not, how do we become a genuinely generous person? And that's what we're going to be looking at as we look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 over the next few weeks. How do we become genuinely generous people? We're continuing our series in 2 Corinthians. The last term, we looked at chapters 1 to 7, where Paul was defending his ministry and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in chapter 8, the topic changes to focus on giving. And it's going to help the Corinthians initially, but also us, to think about what genuine generosity looks like. And in this little section that we just read, these 15 verses, we see three principles for genuine generosity. The principles are: give yourself to the Lord, receive God's generosity, and trust God's provision. Give yourself to the Lord, receive God's generosity, and trust God's provision. And so let's have a look at principle number one: give yourself to the Lord. It'd be great to have your Bibles open at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse 1, we see that Paul wants the Corinthians to know about how the Macedonians were genuine in their generosity, how they were displaying an act of God's grace in their giving. And there is some very striking things about the Macedonian generosity. Have a look at verse 2. Do you see what the striking things are? Severe trials, overflowing joy, extreme poverty, and rich generosity. These Macedonians, they gave out of the little that they had, and they did it with joy. Our diocese and our church supports the Karamoja Diocese in Uganda. We support them by praying for them. We support them by financial giving. They're an extremely poor diocese where there is no money to fix broken buildings. There's no money to employ ministry workers. There's no money to start ministries to help the poor in their towns. It's a great blessing that we can partner with them and support them. But the picture here in Corinthians kind of turns this generosity picture on its head, and it's kind of, imagine if the Karamoja Diocese were the ones giving to support another church. Well, that's the Macedonian church. In their extreme poverty, they still want to give. And they were doing it with joy. In fact, Paul says in verse 3, they gave as much as they were able. And in verse 4, they considered it a privilege. They wanted to give. Now, this might seem a little bit strange to us. We live today in an age of wealth. Even though the news loves to remind us that there is a cost of living crisis, and according to the polls, Australians are concerned most about cost of living. And in that climate where we're constantly being reminded of some of the challenges we have, it's easy to think that we're poor, that we're doing it tough. But actually, we're living in a time, in a country, where we have more wealth than most people throughout history could ever imagine. We all live like medieval kings and queens with more disposable income than ever before. And in our context, the Macedonian generosity, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Give, and give beyond your means. Surely they could use the resources themselves. So why do they do it? Why are they wanting to give so much? Well, we come to the principle. Give yourself to the Lord. This is what the Macedonians have done. Verse 5, it says, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then by the will of God also to us. The Macedonians are living for Jesus. They're living for his kingdom. The Macedonians are viewing the world not from a worldly perspective, but one where they know that Jesus has come and he's died and he's risen again. They know that life is short, but that Jesus' kingdom is going to go forever. And they're not interested in storing up for themselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. They know that they don't have a trailer that they can attach to their coffin where they can put their worldly goods to take with them into eternity. And they're living that out. They have a realistic perspective. My sister, growing up, did not have a realistic perspective. She thought that her investment in Beanie Bears would be a great investment, that they would increase in value. And so she invested really heavily in these bears, spent crazy amounts of money buying Beanie Bears. Many years later, she realized these bears had no value at all and she couldn't even give them away. Well, that's how many people are today. We invest in things that will not last, that have no value in eternity, but not the Macedonians. The Macedonians are giving themselves first to the Lord. They're living for him. They're sold out for Jesus. And this is the key to, one of the keys to genuine generosity. Our lives need to be thoroughly transformed by Jesus. All of our lives, but also our attitude towards money needs to be transformed by Jesus. And so, having established this priority of giving yourself first to Jesus, Paul here uses the Macedonians as an example for the Corinthians. And he urges the Corinthians to complete their act of grace, their act of giving to the Macedonians. And he says in verse 7, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see what Paul's saying? Excel in everything related to living for Jesus, but also excel in this grace of giving. If we've had our lives transformed by Jesus, we will be able to give. Now, as God's church, we are expected to excel in this act of giving as well. One of the ways that we do that is we support our local church so that we can see the gospel go out in our local area. As people benefiting from the ministry of St. James, it's appropriate that we give towards the ministry of St. James. But then there's also ministry to other churches, like we see here, with the Macedonian churches who were giving to other Christians, other churches, other kingdom ministries. and there's freedom. Hear for how that happens, based on need. The Macedonians gave to Christians in need. Later we'll see the Corinthians being asked to give to the Macedonians who are now in need. There's a principle going on here where the Christian church is to look after each other, to serve each other. And it's appropriate that we raise money for the Karamoja Diocese if we're able to do that. Now, this priority doesn't mean that we can't be generous to those outside the church, but we do want to make sure that we're looking after with each other within the church. So we need to give ourselves first to the Lord. Jesus needs to be our priority. We need to put him as number one in our lives, because without doing that, we're not going to be genuinely generous like the Macedonians. The second principle in being genuinely generous in this passage is we actually have to receive God's generosity. Now, Paul makes it clear that giving isn't a command, but he wants the Corinthians to give so that they can see the love that they have for the Macedonians in action. And we see it in verse 8. He says, "I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others." See, supporting the work of the gospel, supporting the work of churches with finances is actually a fruit of love. A fruit of love for God, a fruit of love for God's people. Genuine generosity is not motivated by guilt. It's not motivated by a begrudging feeling that this is what you should do, or by selfishness. Well, I'm going to give so I can get something out of this. Have you ever been guilted into giving? It doesn't feel very nice. In Sydney, companies hire young, passionate people and they send them out into the streets with the sole aim of trying to get you to give them your money for whatever noble organization it is that they happen to work for. And they tell you sob stories, and they are persistent, and they do not let you get a word in edgewise. And then they finish with their spiel saying, "Give me your money." They didn't say it quite like that, but they may as well be, because at that point it's really hard to say no. I find myself justifying why I don't want to give at that point. And if I did give, it wouldn't be out of love, but it would be begrudgingly. It would be out of guilt. That is not the type of giving that Paul is talking about here. But it's giving out of love, because generous giving is motivated by love. And we see this with Jesus. We see God's generosity in Jesus. Have a look at verse 9. This is probably the key verse in both chapters of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Do you see what it says there? It says Jesus was rich. Not rich in the earthly sense where he might have had a mansion and 6 cars and a lap pool. Not that type of rich. But riches in heaven, with God the Father and God the Spirit in glory, eternal riches. And for us, he gave them up. He became poor. Jesus loved us so much that he gave up the riches of heaven to come down to earth as a man and to die alone on a cross for us. Jesus became poor so that we could become rich, so that we could have the riches of heaven. And we don't deserve this. Jesus tells us what we deserve is to be judged by God and sent to hell for our sin and our rebellion. But Jesus shows us genuine generosity, or what Paul calls here the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave up his position of glory, his riches, and he came down became poor, so one day we could be with him, sharing in his riches. We don't deserve it, but he did it anyway. And if we're to put the Lord first, we actually have to receive God's grace. We have to receive God's genuine generosity towards us. God is so generous. He's not stingy. He gave us his only son. As someone in one of our growth groups put it this week, you can't outgive God. God is so generous. And when we receive Jesus, he makes us rich. Not financially rich, but spiritually rich. And so I encourage you, receive God's generosity. As Australians, unless it's coming from government, we're not very good at receiving generosity from others. We're battlers. We want to do it on our own, rely on ourselves and our smarts and our efforts. But if we want riches beyond what we could ever imagine for all eternity, we can't rely on ourselves. We have to rely on Jesus and his generosity and love to us. And as we do that, that in turn will enable us to be generous because we can model what we have received from Jesus. Jesus has been so generous to us. God has been so generous to us. It means that we can be generous to others. So if you want to be genuinely generous, you've got to give yourself to the Lord. You've got to receive his generosity. And finally, the last principle in this passage is we need to trust the Lord's provision. In verses 10 and 11, the Corinthians are being urged to complete an act of giving which they'd previously committed to. See, the thought of being generous needs to be actually matched with the act of being generous. If you commit to giving, follow it through. It's like the buying of flowers. You don't think about buying flowers and then not buy them because that just doesn't have the same effect. It's like, oh, I was going to buy you flowers today, but I didn't. It just doesn't work. Or I have this conversation fairly regularly with my parents. I call them and it's like, oh, I thought about calling you, but you didn't. I thought about buying you a gift, but then I forgot. I thought about being generous, then wasn't. It just doesn't work. If you commit to something, you have to follow through. And so that's what Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to do. They've committed to supporting the Macedonians and generously giving towards them. And so Paul is saying, well, don't just leave it at the thought stage. Make sure you follow through. And Paul says in verse 12, if the willingness is there, if the gift is acceptable, it is according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. See, we're only called to give from what God has already given to us. It's acceptable based on what we have. It means that we can't use as an excuse, well, I'm going to be generous when I've got more. I'm a poor student. I'm not actually a poor student, but I'm pretending I'm a poor student. And saying, well, I'm going to wait until I get a full-time job before I give, is actually not very helpful. What Paul is saying here is that if I've got $10, I can be genuinely generous. If I've got $1 million, I can be genuinely generous. We can be genuinely generous with the resources that God has given to us right now. In fact, it's actually really helpful if you don't have very much. A good thing to do is actually start to be generous with the very little that you have, because that will help you to be generous when you do get more. If you have the opinion that, well, once I get more, then I'll start giving, there's a high chance that you will never start giving. You'll never start being generous. And the goal in all this is not to diminish you. We see in verse 13 and 14, Paul says, so that there is equality, so that the churches in plenty can help those who are in need. And when the tables are turned, other churches can supply their need. We, as we sit in this building, are actually the recipients of the generosity of many Christians over many decades who have been financially supporting our church through the work of the Bush Church Aid Society. Churches and individuals have been paying for ministry here at St. James Anglican Church for over 60 years. What a testament to the generosity of God's people. I know many people in this room have benefited from that, and we benefited from that. This building that we're in, it was paid for by a group of people who raised money to build churches in outback Australia. And we get to benefit from that. We are recipients of other Christians' generosity. And there will be times when we can benefit others and other Christian ministries and support them. And ultimately, we're reminded in this passage, particularly in verse 15, that God is the one who provides. In verse 15, it says, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. This quote comes from Exodus 16, which we had read out earlier. And the manna was a type of bread, fell from heaven from God to feed his people in the desert. And everyone had what they needed. If they gathered too much, they still had what they needed. If they gathered too little, they still had what they needed because God was providing for them. All that we have comes from God. So what often I think can stop us from being generous is that we forget that what we have is a good gift of God to us. Instead of thinking about money being a resource given to us by God to be used for his glory and his purposes, we think that money is something that I earn to be used for me and my pleasure and my purposes. But one of the key things that will transform about how you think about money is this. If you can remember that the money and resources that you have are not yours, but God's. God has given you your money, your house, your car, your things. Now, sometimes in our worldly circumstances, it means we can't give lots of money. We can't be genuinely generous with the resources God's given us. So, for instance, in the situation where you have a non-Christian spouse and you want to honour them and they may not be on board with you giving your money to Christian organisations or to other Christians, you may need to think outside the box as to what genuine generosity looks like. But I think for most of us, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, God does call us to be genuinely generous. We need to give ourselves first to the Lord. We need to receive his generosity. We need to know that he provides for our needs, and then we need to live that out. That's going to help us to be genuinely generous. Now, I've got two examples for us to think through as we think apply these principles. What do you do when someone asks you for money at Coles? And this experience I think most of us have had. What does genuine generosity look like? Well, let's apply the principles. One, give yourself to the Lord. Your goal is to please Jesus, isn't it? It's to honor him, to be his representative. You want to show them God's love. Principle number two, you need to remember that you have received God's generosity in Jesus, even when you didn't deserve it, and he did it willingly, which means that we can also give willingly, not to earn God's favor, but out of thankfulness. You can even give when the person asking you doesn't deserve it. Third principle, we need to know that God provides for us. We're giving not of our resources, but resources that God has entrusted to us to steward. And I think what these principles mean is that we can actually err on the side of generosity. Now, with the principle of love, which wasn't actually a principle, but we'll throw it in there because we are called to love our neighbours, the most loving thing to do might not actually be to provide them with money. It might be to go and offer to buy something. It might be to, if you have a conversation with them, to think about more holistically what can be done. What I'm not saying at this point, and please don't hear me wrong on this, I'm not saying that every time someone asks you for money, you have to say yes. But what we do want to do is we want to apply the principles. We want to give ourselves first to the Lord. We want to, when someone asks us for money, we want to approach it from a Christian perspective. We want to err on the side of generosity. So that was the first example. The second example, and this example I think is actually more in line with our passage, which is the giving to Karamoja. Our brothers and sisters in Karamoja are in need. What does it look like for us to give ourselves first to the Lord as we think about supporting them? Knowing that Jesus was so generous to us, what does generosity look like from our perspective to them? And we can be generous because we know that God has given us what we need. And in his wisdom, sometimes he gives some churches more and other churches less. And so we can actually exercise that grace. We can show our love by giving financially. I come back to Jesus' comments that I started with. If Jesus was looking at us giving, and actually Jesus is looking at us giving, he knows how much we give, he knows our motivations, would Jesus say that we're exercising genuine generosity? Are we like the poor widow? Or if we're not, do we need to pray that God would help us to put Jesus first? To receive his generosity, to know that everything we have is from God. Because when we do those things, we'll be well on our way to being generous.